up today. God, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God. Have your will, have your way today. I thank you, Jesus. I love you. Oh, what a mighty God you are. We worship you. We honor you, God. Blessed be your name. I'm thankful to be in his house today, amen. And I'm thankful. I want to say I do give honor to my mother. I'm very thankful for everything she's been in my life. What's been said is true. I mean, I can't say much else that would describe any better of a mom. I feel blessed. I thank God every day when I'm praying. I thank God every day for my mom and my dad. I feel blessed and honored and don't even feel like I deserve it. But she's been there through thick and thin. Love you, Mom. Thank you for everything. If you have your Bibles and would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, probably the most familiar Mother's Day passage that has ever been read, but I did feel to go to it today, and I feel like maybe there's a few nuggets that we can get out of it, even though many of us, if not all of us, have heard it before. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. If you'd put your Bibles down, let's ask God to help us. God, humbly I come before you. I ask, God, you would help me to convey the message you've given. God, whether it's here in person, online, somebody, God, would leave changed and different. Oh, God, I pray, help us today. God, open our ears, open our minds. Oh, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory and praise and honor. You may be seated. I want to read a little bit more of this passage, starting with that same verse that says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Now, what's funny is the other night we were at my grandma's house, and they were talking about how it is impossible and not a reality that this woman that it's describing exists, and it's okay, relax. It's just a poem about what a virtuous woman would be. The writer here is trying to give an insight and trying to give a look at or portraying a concept of what a virtuous woman is. Not every woman can get up while it's still dark and go make and do and clean and do everything just like that says, but it's the concept. It's the picture of what a virtuous woman looks like. The modern definition of virtue, when you look it up, I looked up several different dictionaries, but they all pretty much refer to being moral and pure. Someone who's virtuous is someone that we consider to have morals, and someone that is pure and not wicked or evil. But when you actually study out that root word in the Bible, hayel, it refers to strength and is actually used with words like army and wealth. So if you reread that verse, Proverbs 31:10, that says, who can find a virtuous woman? And you look at that word virtuous with the word strong attached or kind of overlaying it, it looks a little bit different. You see, what makes a virtuous woman strong? Verse 26 tells us that she opens her mouth with wisdom. Proverbs 24, verse 5 says, a man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. It tells us that wisdom and knowledge gives us strength. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19 says, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Another passage is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Can I tell you why this virtuous woman has wisdom? The answer is found in Psalms 111, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. When you fear God, and you walk with God, and you're seeking God, and you're humbly coming before God and asking him, he will give you wisdom. What gave the virtuous woman her strength, what really defines the personality of the virtuous woman is really the strength that she has. But it comes from wisdom. You say, well, I'm not that wise and I don't feel like I know that much. In the Bible, James chapter 1, verse 5, a common verse says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And we know that this goes for men or women, that pronoun can be used either way, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Can I tell you, if you have a pure heart and pure intentions and you ask God, God, I want wisdom. God, I want to be wise. I want to please you. Can I tell you, he will give you wisdom. And when you get wisdom, you become stronger. With wisdom, it brings strength. I believe this virtuous woman that it is talked about in Proverbs 31 is a strong Christian woman. I believe that there is no comparison that you can make to a woman that knows how to pray. I've heard stories of ancestors of mine that there was a lady that kind of started our whole family in Pentecost, that she knew how to pray. She knew how to get a hold of God. She knew how to walk with God. And God would speak and show her things and ended up possibly saving my grandma's life, which then in turn, I believe, trickled down to my father and to me even today, all because a woman knew how to pray. All because a woman knew how to walk before God. That is a virtuous woman. She's strong. She's a strong Christian. And while the husband is away at work and providing for his family, she's safeguarding her home with prayer and godly influences. You see, a woman has a role. I know that today's society has changed a lot of things, and the lines are maybe blurred more than they used to be on the provider and the housemaker. And I understand there's situations that require, you know, two incomes or a single parent, on and on. I'm not talking about those, but I still believe that there's no substitute for a woman that will take care of the house and raise the children in the way they're supposed to be raised. God puts responsibility on parents. He puts something upon them to raise their children in the way that pleases Him. And so while the husband's out working and bringing home the meat, so to speak, the wife has a responsibility to keep the home and not just physically clean, but also spiritually. Throughout the day, there's influences that can be put in a home, good or bad. And I believe it affects the children down the road. You see children that mama didn't have much money, but she still raised them right. And you see them today in the respectable citizens, and they own businesses, or they're successful in careers. Can I tell you what happened? There was a mama and a daddy that put something in those children way back at home. But then I see other children that I even know personally that have grown up now, they're my age, that grew up in a home that was filled with filthy music and bad influences and things being poured into the home and language and not things of God. And they are not in those same places today. Some of them are locked up. Some of them are anything but successful. Some of them are, if nothing else, miserable and do not know God like you and I know. Why? Because of the home. The atmosphere of the home was not godly. The atmosphere of the home was not Christ-centered. And so after all, their focus was diverted. Now, I understand there's some people that did not grow up privileged enough to grow up in a Christian home. And I believe God can get a hold of their heart and help them to become something amazing for God. But for us that know how to raise our children right in God, for us that have the opportunity to raise our children in a God-centered home, oh, what a responsibility. What a privilege and a responsibility in the same sentence. But this woman provides for her home, and she safeguards her home. It goes right along with verse 11 and 12 that tells us that her husband can trust her, and she's not against him and trying to do evil, but rather focused on providing good for him. Whenever he goes to work and he's away from the home, he trusts her. He knows that the house is going to be okay and taken care of, and there's not going to be all kinds of filth and problems in the house when he comes home, but rather that she's taken care of the house. He can trust not only her intentions. The Bible says she is not against him, is not trying to do evil, but he also can trust her to physically and spiritually take over or take care of the house. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's a responsibility on parents. There is a God-given responsibility. It's not just having kids and it doesn't matter how you raise them. No, the Bible says to train them up, because when they get older, they won't depart. They won't go from it. Whenever they've had it ingrained and instilled in them. Proverbs 29:15, my parents strongly believed in this verse. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You want to be proud as a mom someday. You want your children to become something for God. Raise them right. Put something in them. Do something for them so that they know who God is, that you raise them to follow God. Way back in the Old Testament, there was a strong commandment given in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. This is what the Hebrew women were to tell their children, the mothers and the fathers. It says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do it them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. He's saying, hey, this is something that isn't just for you. I want you to pass what I'm about to tell you on to your children and your grandchildren. And generationally, we're going to raise them in the way of God. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of the fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Right there, it's a rabbit trail I'm not going to go down, but can I tell you, God wants prosperity in his people. God wants his people to prosper. He wants them to increase. He wants them to have good things, but it requires following him. It requires living for him. Verse 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The first thing you've got to put in your children is that there is one Lord. There's still one faith and one baptism. There is no other name given among men whereby they can be saved. The very most important thing, if we fail at everything, is to put in our children that there is one God. There is only one God who is Father of all and above all and in all and through you all. The second verse, or the seventh verse says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. He said, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine home, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. What he's saying is, create a culture, create an environment in your house that is about God and about living for God. Hey, little Johnny, you got to live for God because Jesus loves you and he died for you and he wants to use you in his kingdom. Hey, little Sally, don't do the things of the world. Don't try and look like them. Don't try and act like them. But just love Jesus because Jesus is going to do something with you. What would happen if more moms and dads would take time to instill in their children how to walk in the ways of God? What would happen if they taught them how to walk right? Teach them that sin is still wrong and that there's a heaven to gain, but it can't be gained without being saved. It's a responsibility that parents have, and this virtuous woman takes care of her household. I believe that encompasses everything I just read, that there's more to it than just sweeping the floor. There's more to it than making the bed. There's more to it than just making food, but rather it's making an environment, making a culture for those children to be raised in that pleases God. The passage says that she makes merchandise and sells it. With that being said, she still cares for the household's needs and raises her children. The concept that's trying to be portrayed here is that she's not a lazy or self-centered woman. Her focus is on her family. Her focus is on the things for her husband and her children and on making the house right. The Bible says she's not going around boasting and trying to pat herself on the back and always looking for the credit. But rather, in verse 28, it says, her children and her husband will praise her. She's not going around doing it just for the credit. And I can speak only for how I've been raised with my mother, but as Pastor said, she's not looking for credit. There's many times you don't even know, there's many times that I don't even know that something was done because it wasn't about that. It's about providing for the children and providing for the household. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. You know why this woman is better than everyone else? You know why she's excelled and set up on higher? It's because not only is she providing for her household, not only is she not lazy and she's staying busy doing, and not only is she seeking the best for her husband and her children, but this woman walks with God. There's no substitute There's no substitute for a woman that will walk with God. Popularity, it fades. Beauty only lasts for a while, it's vain. But what doesn't fade is her walk with God. No matter what life brings, no matter how she goes through life and the story of life that's painted, it's her walk with God that really stands out. And because of that walk with God, he says, you can't put a price on this woman. It's above rubies. It's far above that. You can't put a price on it. The best he could come up with was that she's far more valuable than rubies. There's no exact price on it because that value is immeasurable. How do you value someone that walks with God? He compares it to the value of wisdom, as we read in some of the earlier verses, that it's really unmeasurable. He says wisdom is worth more than rubies and gold and silver. And he says this woman is worth more than rubies. There's not much else that you can compare it to because it's so valuable. It's so rare. And I won't be much longer as I get ready to close. There's people that maybe are listening online that say, I want to be a virtuous mom or a wife. Can I tell you, the very first place you've got to start is a connection with God and walking with God. You've got to get that established. You've got to, first of all, fear the Lord. Because when you fear the Lord, humbly walking reverently before him, the Bible says that you'll get wisdom. And when you get wisdom, you get strength. And when you get strength, all of a sudden now you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Whenever you have strength, you know how to protect your home. You know how to protect your heart. You know how to protect your marriage whenever you have the strength of God. Whenever God is the center and you're walking after the things of God. You might have the beauty. You might have the riches. You might be popular, but can I ask, do you walk with God? You have all those things that are great. I'm not taking anything away from them. But do you walk with God? Is there a daily connection that you're seeking him for strength? And not just for me, but oh God, will you help me to keep my house pure? Will you help me to raise my children right? Are you raising your children to follow God and serve him no matter what life brings? Or are we focused on the things of this world? I don't know. I'm not trying to preach hard at any one person. I'm just trying to say this is what God's put on my heart, that to be a virtuous woman is more than just doing, more than just all the things we read about, but it's really about a connection with God. It's really about strength. It's really about being able to stand for him. It's not too late today to make that commitment. If you would stand with me, I feel like that for someone, today is the perfect day. If you're a mom, if you're a wife, whatever the case may be, even if you're not yet, make a commitment to God that I'm going to be a virtuous woman. I'm going to be a strong woman. I'm going to be someone that the devil fears. I'm going to be someone that whenever life throws some curveballs and some things I didn't plan on and my children are struggling, that I'm not going to go deal with it necessarily in the flesh, but I'm going to hit my knees and I'm going to pray to the God who can. I'm going to go find strength to stand against the devil that wants to destroy my home, that wants to come in and divide and conquer. I'm going to stand against it because I have power when I connect with God. There's strength when you connect with him. Oh, somebody, would you ask him right now to help you to become better? Oh, God, give us wisdom. Give us strength. Give us direction, oh, God. Help us in Jesus' name.
You know, I think it would be appropriate today after this message that we've heard, I would think it'd be appropriate if all you moms would just come up if you're able to, and if you need to sit down on the front, you can. But if you come up this front row and just come up here and let's just be in a season of prayer. And if it's okay, I want to pray with each one of you. If that's all right, I'd like to pray that God will have his way in your lives. Amen. If all the ladies could just come up to the front.
I wanna be holy, holy.
fancy being a mom. And it's really not easy to be a godly mom when we live in such a world that's pushing against that. And I just feel to pray today for strength for each one of you mamas. I believe that God can strengthen you today and make you stronger and able to do more for God than you've ever done. I don't care. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your abilities are. God can use you mightily and powerfully.
Cleanse and make me new. I want to be loving, loving, loving.
know, she got up this morning and she didn't say, I'm just going to stay home and have a pity party, but I'm going to go to church. I'm going to worship God. Oh, can I say that God sees that? God sees that. And my mind goes to that scripture that says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, in other words, when the time is finally approached, when it's finally time, you're going to reap. You're gonna reap. You're gonna get it back. If you faint not. And so I just want to say that as a pastor, it encourages me that you moms are here even when you don't have all of your children with you. Amen. And that speaks volumes for your character. Keep going for God. I promise you, God sees everything that we do. God sees every sacrifice. When you don't feel like going to church and you still do it, God sees that. When you don't feel like seeing other people and having to be nice to other people when you're hurting inside, but God still sees it. God still sees it. Amen. And I want to say, don't ever give up, because it's not over until God says it's over. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Keep on being a virtuous woman. Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Austin, for that word today. I believe that God is sending out a call across the land today, around this nation and around the world. He's looking for mamas that's going to raise their children in the fear, the admonition of the Lord. It takes a lot to be a mama, but it really, really takes a lot. Really takes a lot to stand against the world and say, I'm not just going to open the front door and let the world come in and flood over my babies. I'm going to do some protecting. I'm going to do some fighting. I'm going to do some teaching. I'm going to do some nourishing. Amen. 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 Moses' mama didn't have her, or didn't have him with her for very long, but she managed to take advantage of the time she had, and she put something in that little boy to where when he grew up, he refused to be called the daughter of Pharaoh. He said, I am an Hebrew. Amen. And I believe that there's mamas across this land that don't be idolizing what everybody else says on social media on how to raise your children. Now, you can get good tips from there, but don't just idolize and don't listen to these influencers that are going to try to help you raise your kids.